Our guest today is singer-songwriter Jim White from Pensacola, Florida, who has a new album called Transnormal Skipperoo that explores what he calls the dirty old South with much of the same perspective as his first album, Wrong Eyed Jesus. Now, that album put Jim in the then-emerging alt-country camp, although his subsequent music has shown great stylistic depth. He also has been the subject of the BBC documentary Searching for the Wrong Eyed Jesus, which explores Jim's take on the area. From the new album, here is a song called Fruit of the Vine that talks about a lot of these issues.
It ain't no crime.
Bit of Fruit of the Vine, one of the tracks from Transnormal Skipperoo, Jim White's new album. We play that to begin our session with the band today because it talks about the dirty old South, and the dirty old South certainly is once again front and center on this album, as it was with Wrong Eyed Jesus and so much of what Jim White has done in the past. And also because, Jim, it's got that, I love the way you mix that with all those, where are those voices from?
Well, I made a movie with the BBC. It's called Searching for the Wrong Eyed Jesus. And when I was putting that song together, I was thinking about the prison that we went to. We went to a prison in Louisiana, Jerry Lee Lewis's hometown. And strangely enough, we found out later that Mary Gaucher, you know, her brother's in that prison for life. But we didn't get to talk to him, but we talked to a lot of the prisoners, and they told us their stories. And it got me thinking about the endemic poverty in the South and the desperation, and some of my friends who were in prison. And I wanted to kind of give them a voice and kind of use that as a launching pad for, you know, the idea of the song, which is we basically have to pick the fruit, whatever fruit of the vine is available, to feed ourselves. And in the South, I guess not just the South, but in much of poor America, that happens to be selling crystal meth and dealing in illegal substances.
Am I right in with the assumption that this album kind of looks back at the album Wrong Eyed Jesus in a way?
It does, yeah. I made three albums, and, you know, things kind of work in threes. And after Drill a Hole in That Substrate, where I wandered into sort of a jazz realm and sullied myself in the jazz world, I felt like I wanted to go back and explore what had changed in my perception of, like, folk and country music. So I went back and tried to remember some of the melodic ideas. The philosophical ideas are different, but the melodic ideas are similar, the approach to arrangement and things like that. So I went back and started writing songs with that in mind, a little more melodic movement, a little less attention to fat beats.
Well, is it the time to say how's the philosophy changed? How has your look at this territory changed?
Well, you know, I had kids, and my kids laugh at me if I put on any hip hop music, so I have to act like a parent now. And parents are generally folk singing people, so I kind of grew up, and, you know, the need for rhythm isn't so important to me anymore. Now I'm thinking more about melody again, and I think that's just a function of getting older. You know, if you see really old people trying to play that kind of music, it doesn't generally compliment them that well. Because we get portly when we get old, and portly people dancing is unsightly.
A wise choice, but we are on the radio, so you could do whatever you want. But,
great.
Speaking of which, you have a wonderful band here today. Now, I've read some of the material when you were starting out and you tried to form a band. People didn't want to play with you because I don't know. It must have been how you approached the music. Have you altered how you approach the music, or you just find people who
desperate,
who understand
desperate
you?
For pay? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, I have to say I was playing in England and was playing opposite Rufus Wainwright, who drew quite a few more people than me. And I had about 18 people in my room, and he had about 1,800 in his room. And his guitar player came out and said, "Do you remember me? I tried to play guitar with you when you first started." And I remember him. He was a great guitar player. He played with PM Dawn, and he offered to try to to be my guitar player because he liked the little demo that I made. And after playing with me for 3 days, he said, "This, I've never said this to anybody before, but this is painful. This, you don't want me as your guitar player. You want you as your guitar player, and you're weird." And he thought, he came to apologize for saying that years later, but it was the smartest thing that anybody told me about what I needed as an accompanist, was I needed someone who was just as whacked out and demented as I am, and hence the arrival of Pat Hargan over here on electric guitar.
Excellent. Who else is in this band?
Well, we got Skip Ward playing bass, the ubiquitous Skip Ward, plays on a lot of people's albums and has been kind enough to give us a little bit of his time. And we got Fiona McBain from the Bandola Bell, who played quite a bit on this album, who were, I would say, pivotal. They were pivotal. They pivoted a lot while they were singing, but thankfully they're not portly. But yeah, she came with Ola Bell, and we recorded with Joe Pernice up in Connecticut, and we made what I think are a bunch of beautiful folk songs.
I would agree. So you want to pivot into one now?
Yeah, we're going to pivot into a sad one here. This will allow the less rhythmic people to ease into the whole musical idea.
Dixie is a scourge and a scar, and a girl in my heart, and a state of mind. Jesus is the man with a plan, he's a short-haired Mexican friend of mine. The small town clowns will drag you down, can't leave your past behind. See the wipers in the rain, tapping out time, coming up on a new state line. I wanna be a jailbird from the prison of my own damn mind. Gonna get me a fast car, so I see what I can find. Pick up the well of tears and disappear, leave myself behind. Gonna be a jailbird from the prison of my own damn mind. Midnight, take a shortcut through the downtown cemetery. No stepping on graves. Check the statue of the Virgin Mary. She catching the light in your shadow. Spiderwebs, can you see the black widow hung between Our Lady's hands? I wanna be a jailbird from the prison of my own damn mind. Won't get me a fast car, said I see what I can find. Break up the well of tears and disappear, leave myself behind. Won't be a jailbird from the prison of my own damn mind. Ache for grace to work and pray to one day be disappear. Leave myself behind. Won't be a jailbird from the prison of my own damn
Jim White is playing live for us today, and that is Jailbird from Transnormal Skipperoo. It's interesting, Jim. We do a song about guys who are trapped into being in prison, and then there's a song about wanting to get out. But that, obviously, is a metaphor. What is that a metaphor of? It seems like perhaps your life. I'm not sure.
Well, this is a song kind of... Sometimes you write about who you are, and sometimes you write about who you were. And sometimes you write about who you wish you could be. This is a song I'm writing about, kind of more about who I was and kind of what I had to do to get away. Because when I was about 19 years old, I climbed in my car and I drove away from the crushing poverty and the religion in the South and tried to find another way to live. Didn't do very well, you know. I kind of kept coming back because I couldn't get it out of my blood. And I finally had to go. I lived in Europe for 4 years. Read a lot of books and sat in a lot of rooms and stared out the window and wondered why every other word in my mind was Jesus, and why I didn't know how to fit in the bigger world that seemed like an interesting place to me. So that's a song about wanting to get away, being trapped in a little town and wanting to get away. And I think that's not just the South. That's anywhere in the world. If you have big dreams and no transportation, you're in trouble. The town will crush you, you know?
Well, you mentioned the film, the BBC film Searching for the Wrong-Eyed Jesus, mm-hmm. Which I've probably at this point, more people have seen the film than have actually seen you live. Mm-hmm. Has that affected, do you feel like you have to relate somehow to that film as you continue on? I'm wondering, you know, sometimes when you have even a video or something, people kind of stamp that in their mind as this is what the artist is.
Well, when I'm standing in line at the Red Lobster, I try to let them know I'm a celebrity so that they get me a better table. I don't, you know, those are two separate things. I don't really think about it. There are benefits to it. It has raised a certain dialogue about my representation of the South. There are some people who are outraged by the things I said in the movie, and they're making their own movies in response. And I think that's great. They're going out. There's a guy in Nashville from a band called the Legendary Shack Shakers, and he has decided to make a film called, I think it's called The Seventh Sign. He called me a phony and a hypocrite and a liar, and I don't know. He just seemed to use my presentation in the film as some sort of absolute thing to reject, and went out and made his own film, and I heard it's a pretty good film. So, you know, I'm happy that people are people are interested in what's going on, even if it's negative interest. As a good teacher of mine once said, good art doesn't supply answers, it raises questions. So if the movie raised questions about the veracity of my representation of the South, fantastic. Go out and disprove me, and disprove me in an interesting way, and I'll be real happy.
And, of course, your view of the South, I say in quotes, has to be from growing up in Pensacola, which kind of seems like the South on steroids.
Yeah, it is. It's the South on steroids. It's got the longest running revival of the 20th and now 21st century in the Brownsville Assembly of God, where I got saved when I was 15 years old. It was a little clapboard church that held 50 people at that point, and it slowly but surely turned into this center for evangelism for the world. It's a poor town. It's a sort of a tidal zone between the old South and the new South, because the Navy's there and there's a transient population. Ted Bundy was caught there. It is, there's plane wrecks and UFO sightings, and it is the South on steroids. So I think that's a good representation. Yeah, so my idea was sort of extreme, and I presented that idea in the first album that I made in a short story, which is what the filmmakers read and said, oh, we have to come to see if this is a real world that he's representing or an imagined world. And they came and talked to me about it and eventually decided to make this documentary.
And where do you live now?
I live in Athens, Georgia. After Hurricane Ivan hit Pensacola, my ex moved out of Pensacola and moved to Athens. And so I follow because we have a 9-year-old daughter. And now I'm married. I have a wonderful wife. And we have a 1.5-year-old baby named Sadie who's home. Robin and Sadie are sitting home. I hope they're listening. They hear me say hello and I love you.
A man with two daughters.
Yeah.
Jim White is our guest. And what's next?
Let's see. What do we do next? A Town Called Amen. That's fitting after talking about kind of finding a home finally. Everybody ready?
The days of our innocence and grace blow by. The smiles we wear upon our face blow by. Oh, the sweet wine of youth goes sour over time. Seems like the more that you lose, the more you ache to find. A town called amen, like a bright-eyed smile from some long-lost friend. It's a town called amen. Sit at the windowsill, see the children rushing by. Come a flood of summer rain, strange increments of time. How the wild engines run, burning shadows from our minds. Lord, when the purging gets done, I sure pray what's left behind. Town called amen, like a bright-eyed smile from some long-lost friend. It's a town called amen.
Resting Place, A Town Called Amen, from Jim White, from the new album Transnormal Skipperoo, and we're getting some live versions of things today. Now, you got to help me on Transnormal Skipperoo, because I'm not even sure what part of speech Skip-a-roo and noun. Skip-a-roo.
You're asking the wrong person. Fortunately, we have my doppelganger there. He's a college professor, Mr. Pat Hargan. Pat, skip-a-roo a noun or a verb?
Well, I think transnormal is an adjective. So adjectives modify nouns.
So it's a noun.
It's got to be.
Is that reductive, deductive, or inductive reasoning you use for that, Pat?
I didn't see any ducks. I don't know what you're talking about. <didn't see>
You're ducking my question, Pat.
Almost as well as you are. It's a state of mind or a person or a...
Well, you know, sometimes you have to name feelings that you have. Sometimes you have to name them because there's not really another name. Like we were talking about duende, which is a feeling for spirit in Latin culture. And that's my redneck version of duende, I guess. No, it's not duende because it's a little happier than duende. Is that right? Duende? Is that how you say it?
That's a noun, correct.
Okay. Ding. It was just my way of kind of describing how, you know, at a point in my life, I suddenly felt like everything makes sense. I know where I'm going. I know where I've been. I see clear paths ahead of me and behind me, and that's never happened before. And I feel good about it. And I wanted to describe just feeling good about walking through the course of the day, transnormal, walk across the day, and do a little skip as you go along because it feels pretty good.
You're a lucky man. That sounds great. Now, a town called Amen. Pretty nice resting place, pretty happy place. Turquoise House, another very happy person in a very different world.
It's a person who's figured out that it doesn't matter if you play a dumb country song. If you enjoy it, enjoy it.
Well, this is as close as we're going to get to a sing-along today, I guess.
All right, yeah, this one's called Turquoise House, and it's an anthem for all the outsiders in the world who don't fit in and feel like, well, maybe what am I doing all this for?
Now, are there a lot of turquoise houses in the South? I'm seriously, because I spent some time in the great state of Maine, mm-hmm. where there are a lot of turquoise houses.
Well, I don't know. What I really felt like when I was writing the song was that that of all the shades of blue, the turquoise had been really ignored musically. And so it was time to let it just come riding out in the world in full force, and we assume that turquoise will be well represented in songs after this. Ready, Fiona?
Yep.
One, two, a one, two, three, four. Never fit in, so why should I try? How am I ever gonna pass for a normal guy? Can't wear no suit and tie. Gotta let my freak flag fly. If I walk the straight and narrow one more day, I think I'll die. Because I won't turquoise house with a turquoise garden and a turquoise yard. Drive around town in a turquoise car. Find a turquoise girl with a turquoise heart. Now faith is a riddle and love is a dream. And things are seldom what they seem. If you say your prayers at night, you might not feel like you're in hell, but then again, you might. Me, I wanna live in a turquoise house with a turquoise garden and a turquoise yard. Drive around town in a turquoise car. Find a turquoise girl with a turquoise heart. I want turquoise carpet. Turquoise shoes, turquoise papers with all the turquoise news, turquoise only, not teal or aquamarine. I've seen my future and it's a shade of bluish green. Now I can't turn back, there ain't no way. Word gets out, there'll be hell to pay.
this life's not for the faint, but you can't be what you ain't. I know I'll never truly be myself till I get me some turquoise paint. Because I wanna live in a turquoise house with a turquoise garden and a turquoise yard. Drive around town in a turquoise car, find a turquoise girl with a turquoise heart. I wanna live in a turquoise house with a turquoise garden and a turquoise yard. Drive around town in a turquoise car, find a turquoise girl with a turquoise heart. A turquoise girl with a turquoise heart. A turquoise girl in a turquoise dress and a skirt and a shirt that's covering up her pretty little turquoise heart.
Turquoise House, wonderful new one from Jim White on the. You're right on the CNW end of things. It was kind of good for you that alt country became semi-popular there for a while when you were coming up, because you were kind of viewed as a sort of a poster child for that.
Poster, yeah, crippled, yeah. Poster child. But you know, alt country kind of became really synonymous with a sort of a mopey mindset, and you know. One of the things that I really enjoyed when I saw Ola Bell, the band that plays on my album, is that they have a real feisty, happy version of country and kind of country soul and bluegrass and all mixed together. And you know, if you listen to bluegrass music, some of those saddest songs that they sing sound like the happiest songs in the world. And so I want to reclaim that territory for my fellow alt countryites.
That's absolutely one of the best parts of it. Now, you mentioned playing in New York, and how do you feel about touring? It seems like a short little stint. Are you going to go out later?
Why, you want to go out on tour with me?
I'd love that. It'd be fun.
What do you play?
Yeah, that's the problem.
No, touring is a hard proposition for me. I worked so hard to find a home and a family, so to walk away from them and go out every night and be in a different city every day and be a voice on the phone to my children is hard. It's a hard proposition. That said, this is about the best job I ever had. You know, it sure beats cab driving, sure beats working on the asphalt crew, sure beats you know, all those other dishwashing and everything else. So I accept that. You know, we have to accept, as a friend of mine once said, you got to learn to accept the bitter with the sweet. And in my life, there's a small parcel of bitter and a whole lot of sweet right now.
Well, we look forward to you on the road or not, or in our ears. Jim White, thank you so much again for being here.
Well, David, thank you for having us. It's always a pleasure. You've supported us right from the beginning, and that's how we feed our family. So we thank you so much.
And you brought us boiled peanuts the first time. It's all about the boiled peanuts. So
bribes, that gratuities and bribes, and yeah, that'll get you. A border crossing agent found those going into Canada, and boy, she thought she had found contraband. And then she opened them up, and I said, try one, they're good. And that made her terribly mad, because she wanted to find some sort of controlled substance.
It perhaps should be, but it is not. Anyway, Jim White, our guest, will be back in a moment here on The World Cafe.